Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Tuesday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Julius Randle.
Oh.
I'm sorry, is it too soon to talk about the Knicks? My best friend, Mike Harmon, live,
four
who's
games
already shaking
in, man.
His head.
It's four games.
It doesn't matter. 3-1. We're going to go 81-1. We just,
now, if that happens, that's a story. I mean, that would be historic.
We just beat the crap out of the Sixers. Knicks.
Well, but they're all in disarray. They don't have one of their top players.
Really? Oh, so at the end, in the fourth quarter when they were down by 30, Ben Simmons would have been great. He would have rallied them and started taking.
Well, they wouldn't have been down 30.
He would have been taking threes at the end. Just give me the ball, man. I'm going to make it rain. I'm going to shoot from the logo. They're going to call me Logo Simmons. I'm going to keep shooting threes is what I'm going to do.
No, I think you're disparaging Doc Rivers' coaching ability in what you're doing there. That's really the story I'm hearing.
Listen, I'm not disparaging anything. I'm just telling you how good the Knicks are.
Knicks.
Oh, man.
That was a clinic. That was Harlem Globetrotters kind of stuff right there. It looked like the Generals out there.
It was. I mean, Emmanuel Quickley's making people fall over. And, hey, look, marquee game of the night in the NBA right now. Knicks beat the Sixers 112-99. Big nights from Evan Fournier, from Kemba Walker.
We started with the Knicks.
I told you.
It's game one of the World Series. And we're starting with the Knicks.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Because then we have to also mention the Lakers playing without LeBron James because he's rewatching the end of Squid Game to see if he really hated it. They trail the Spurs right now, 75-74, midway through the third quarter. AD's got 18. Westbrook has 16, 6-5. Again, no LeBron tonight for the Lakers against the Spurs. And, you know, listen, I'm kind of glad he's not playing because now we can just talk about his rivalry with the director for Squid Game.
No, that's good.
I think that's just as good content.
Have you seen Space Jam? I love it. Existential crisis comes up when the guy says, hey, look at what you made.
Magic had Bird. Right? I mean, you know, Kobe had Duncan. You know, we got Shaq had Kobe. We got all the, and LeBron has the director of Squid Game. It's his big rival now. It's what it is. It's the new Magic and Larry. It's LeBron and the director of Squid Game.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive right there. Because remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago as the season began, and it was the caught on tape. And I didn't care much for the end of Squid Game. Like, well, look, that's how you get some clout, too, right?
You
have this story pop up at the same time. You say, hey, I didn't get rich off of this. I'll get rich off my next project, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. So it all ties together. A big news day coming out of Squid Game, which I still have not seen.
Can't believe you haven't yet. I mean, you have to see it just because everybody has seen it now, and now it's like you have no social currency if you haven't seen Squid Game. Like, if you, like you say, I haven't seen Squid Game, you may forget it. Like, I can't even talk to this guy. He's got no.
You know what I did?
Currency.
I spent my time watching the Bears again.
No.
And the Jets. I decided I was too happy and high on life after a couple of days of soccer wins for my daughter and a showcase thing where I was driving like an idiot 2 hours each way. No, after all of that, you know, riding high, I said, let's go back and watch some really bad football. And then you and I got to experience even more bad football on Monday night. So, you know, I brought myself down. So at some point later in the week, maybe Squid Game will get a turn as I catch up on Succession and everything else. But, you know, it's really fallen down the depth chart in terms of as soon as everybody says you have to see it, usually I go the other way. It's kind of like when people tell you, hey, this is the easy bet of the week. That means it's guaranteed to go wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, you just don't, because everybody's talking about it. You don't want to be the guy that says, how come you're so quiet?
I haven't seen Squid Game.
Oh, sorry about that. Why did you even come to lunch? Why didn't you just stay home then if you didn't want Squid
Game? Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler alert, given our schedule and what I do to get my kids moving every day, I nap. I don't lunch. I'm glad you have leisure time with your jackass buddies. I do not.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You don't have time to have lunch? Really? You don't have time to have lunch? Really?
Just for a minute or two.
Really?
And then it's back to the grind, baby.
That's it?
Then it's back to it.
Yep. Really? You don't. You only have time to eat lunch for 1 minute, and then that's it. You have no time for that. No time for anything else.
That's about right.
No. Didn't you and I have a nice 2-hour lunch like a week and a half ago?
Well, that was one day. I mean, we found a pocket of time.
But all the other days, you're too busy to have lunch.
But a pocket of time to go do that and watch Squidward, I'm out.
You binge stuff like late at night. You're up until 6 in the morning.
Yeah,
like,
but this has no.
I can't get to sleep.
But I'm not interested in it.
Watch Squid Game. You said
how about
you
that?
Had to
I just say it. Just
Squid
like Game.
Game
of Thrones, where you tried to beat me over the head for years. No, I didn't watch that either.
No. I never watched Game of Thrones. You're talking about your other best friend. I never watched Game of Thrones. I was telling you all the time I never watched
No,
Game
didn't
of Thrones.
You watch that for 2 seasons and then quit?
No,
or you
I didn't
read
watch
a book
it at all.
And you ruined it for somebody?
No, a friend of mine ruined it for me reading the book, going, oh, hey, you gotten to the part where Ned dies yet? Wait, what? What happens? What?
I just like that there was a guy named Ned.
This. Yeah,
we're going back in time all these years, and there's a guy named Ned running around.
Did you get to the part where Ned dies? What? Ned dies? What?
Flanders dies? What?
Idly, hey, go home. Doodly-doo. So today the director of Squid Game taking a shot back at LeBron, who a week ago talked about not liking the end of Squid Game. The director said, well, maybe I didn't like Space Jam 2. You know, LeBron can do his own ending to the movie if he wants to. So pretty interesting stuff with that.
Hey. He's made a lot of money off that production company, so he's got hundreds of millions of dollars ready to fund the next project. Maybe he does his own version of Squid Game.
Octopus Game. We're going to do a calamari game. That's what it's going to be.
Now I want calamari. Yeah, it's good.
What's that? It's a guy. You're watching a guy eat as many pieces of calamari as he can. How long does it go? Well, until he's done eating. All right, well, give me 8 episodes of it. All right, perfect. We're going to run it.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't had a limited series of competitive eating.
I'm surprised we haven't had a lot more different things with competitive eating.
Correct.
I'm really surprised that hasn't become the new poker. I thought that would be the new poker. And now poker's not even poker anymore.
And now it's coming back, though. Poker's on the rebound, though.
It is, you're right. Poker, it's been gone so long now, poker is actually on the rebound yet. From the early 2000s and the big heyday, and oh, look at all the TV shows they're showing on Bravo where it's just celebrities playing poker. You're right, now it's coming back. So maybe competitive eating will get that next push and become the new poker, which was the old poker, which is trying to be the new poker again.
See, during COVID, they got stuck in the online poker rooms again.
Yeah. Well,
so it took off.
But right now in the World Series, Braves lead the Astros 5-0 as the Astros bat in the bottom of the fourth inning. It's been a big power show for the Braves so far. Soler opens up the World Series with a home run. Riley with a big double driving in a run as well. Duvall had a home run in the third inning. At TJ, Duvall not showing tender mercies to the Astros with his home run in the fourth.
That's a good reference right there. And one nobody's going to get. But, you know, we always say in baseball.
DJ Soler flares one into the stand.
Right. Nicely done. I mean,
Soler
first time.
Installation as a World Series hero.
Don't forget your tax rebate. Soler installation. Look, the first in 117 World Series, first time a leadoff batter. Homers. There you go.
100 years of baseball.
Got to have something new. Yeah.
Keep seeing more. And look, isn't this better? All the fans right now, well, they didn't like that because that was a big error that brought in a run for the Astros. But isn't this exactly how it's supposed to be? 5-1 now, the Braves with the lead after Dansby Swanson just kicks a grounder. Isn't this what you want? We wanted the Astros to get to the World Series, and then you lose in front of everybody. And you don't make it, and you think, oh, I've had some kind of success. Here's a team that cheated, won the World Series. Oh, I'm all upset they're back. No one's rooting for them. No one wants them to win. Why are they here? I hate they're in the World Series. But this is what you want. You want them to be in the World Series, and that's when they lose. Now, it really does stink if in a game tonight, like where they're down 5-0, they find their way back in and they win this game. That would really stink for the majority of the country. But if the Braves hold on to win, this is kind of what you want. Here's the Braves. Nobody thought the Braves could win. Their best players out for the season. They won like 74 games and still won the National League East this year. oh, the Braves can win. The Braves have no personality. Nobody cares. People know Freddie Freeman's name a little bit. Doesn't matter. You're playing against the Astros. You're not them. They are America's team right now, and people will root for the Braves just like they did in the 90s when they knocked the evil Pittsburgh Pirates off the top of the NL East because they had all the great young players to root for, and Justice and Gant and everybody else and Cabrera and all the fun stuff they had there. Nah, the Braves are now America's team again for the first time since like 1997.
America's team. That's a really strange thing, right? Acuna out because of injury. Ozuna on an administrative lead. Administrative leave. You get a 5-1 lead here in the bottom of the fourth. The only one out, so the threat is real. As long as you keep it within a slam, that's the old adage, right? One swing of the bat, and all of a sudden we got ourselves a brand new ball game. But I like it either one of two ways. Either you fail spectacularly and you're playing meaningless baseball in September, because that would be the really good way for things to end, or you fail spectacularly and get swept out, or maybe five games, you know, the gentleman's sweep or gentlewoman's sweep in this World Series showcase. Either way, they have to lose for America to be happy. Doesn't mean the Braves are America's team, though. I mean, it's
well, for
the,
now they are. Well,
it's like
teams.
Most elections where you're choosing the lesser of two evils.
Well, look, I'm not saying people are walking around with buttons saying, hey, Braves. No, but they're America's team. There's two teams left. One team people really don't want to see win, so they're rooting like hell for the other one.
Are they really rooting like hell for the other one?
Sure, nobody wants the Astros. They're not really rooting for them as much as they're rooting against the Astros.
Right, no, it's hate-watching. Yeah, yes. Hate-watching and, you know, well, someone's got to win is really what it comes down to. It's like all those years in the American League of anybody but the Yankees kind of mentality. Yeah, I get it. It's certainly there. And now it's anybody but the Astros.
Anybody but that. It doesn't matter who they are. It makes no difference. It's just this is what it is, and this is the team. Okay, I don't know a lot about the Braves. The Braves are X, Y, and Z. The Braves, okay. No. We're rooting for the Braves. I'm going to find out about
the Braves made
them.
It. Who are they?
I'm going to find out if Kenny Lofton is still playing center field. I'm going to find out these things. I'm going to know.
No, you can't keep putting him on all these different teams.
But he was on the Braves.
If you had him on the Guardians, he stays with the Guardians. You can't start assigning him to other squads now.
They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe, the best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021 for more information. Catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. 5-1 with one out. The Astros could potentially put another run on the board here, at least in the bottom of the fourth inning. But, hey, with every pitch, it's, oh, man. Minter, he's great. I really need him to come through. Do you know who he is? Nope, not at all. But he's on the mound. He's pitching against the Astros. It's not Altuve. It's not anybody. It's not Kyle Tucker. It's none of these guys. It's not Gurriel. It's not Correa. It's somebody else. This is what helps in the World Series. It helps to have them. Can you imagine if it was the Braves and I'm sorry, Boston. If it was the Braves and the Red Sox in the World Series, it would be, oh, okay. Two teams where nobody knows any players on any of these teams. As much heritage team as the Red Sox are, nobody knows anybody on the team, and nobody knows anybody on the Braves either. It's, all right, we're going to watch. So you need something. I mean, it's a big deal to get the Astros in the World Series.
Well, people would have been trying to learn how to spell Xander Bogaerts.
Would they really be trying, though? Or they would just put an X? They just put an X there.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, Bobby Dalbec might have gotten a little bit of run. Kike Hernandez, everybody.
Wait,
likes
the drummer
him
for
Alice.
Poison, Bobby Dahl? The drummer for Poison? You getting some run?
Talk dirty to me. Wait, no, that's an intro to Pete Futek, and I don't think he picks up the bat phone just like that.
Braves get out of the inning. It is 4-1, Atlanta with the lead going to the top of the fifth inning. Likely would have got out unscathed, but Dansby Swanson, again, just kicked an absolute out. It was a ground ball to him and could have been a double play. But instead, the Astros get a run and the Braves batted down. You know, Minter really battens down there and gets the last two outs of the inning. Could have been ugly. So the Braves with a 4-run lead now as they go to bat in the top of the fifth inning.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Oh!
They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe. The best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021 for more information. Catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. The Braves lead the Astros right now 5-1, two outs as they bat in the top of the fifth inning, but there is big-time breaking news coming from the World Series. We'd say hi to David Gascon right now, who's got the news for us. And this isn't like David Gascon's going to come on and say, guys, your top five favorite HBO shows, what are they? What do we got? This is like real breaking news that David Gascon has.
Yeah, this is a snap, and it is a snap of Charlie Morton, guys. He was in the middle of the third inning when he was pitching to the Houston Astros, came off after a bad pitch, limping off the field, was removed from the game. X-rays came back. Fractured right fibula.
Oh,
he
wow.
is now done for the season. In 2 1/3 innings, Morton had 3 strikeouts, a couple walks, and just one hit against. Atlanta was up 5-0. It's now 5-1, but he's obviously done for the season. So that's a huge shot to the ATL.
Yeah, Morton's a guy that became a great pitcher late in his career. Like, he was into his 30s, and he was kind of just a guy. You know, he started out with Atlanta, then he had a long time with Pittsburgh, and he was just bouncing around. And then he gets to Houston, wins the World Series in 2017, has a great year in 2018, signs a big deal with the Rays in 2019, pitches well. He's been lights out since 2017, now with the Braves, and this is a really big deal. You're talking about their ace, your game one, you're counting on him for another game during the series, and suddenly game one becomes a must-have, because if you're saying, all right, if we're gonna lose our number one pitcher for the rest of the World Series, we got to have this game one on the road. Now suddenly even a bigger sense of urgency because you know that you're going to have to navigate without your ace the rest of the way.
Immediately becomes a bullpen game, right? So now this one, potential, the residual effect, trying to get as much as they can out of Minter here, trying to go through his game log, see, you know, what kind of maximums you've got. Usually it's about two innings seems to be his threshold, or at least what he's been used for thus far. Perhaps, you know, they can extend a little bit further, because otherwise, you know, the compounding effect of this loss of Morton is absolutely huge. Can't let this one get away.
Yeah, this becomes the must for the Braves in winning this game. And you're sure that news has trickled down now because it's out. The Braves actually put the news out themselves in the middle of the game. So now the team knows and is aware that, hey, this is what's going on without Morton. We got to dig in deep and try to get this game. This becomes an absolute must-have now for the Braves. So we'll keep you updated on the game. Again, 5-1 in the fifth inning. Braves, you know, with a big power show early, and they have the lead over the Astros in game one of the World Series. Meanwhile, as we told you a few minutes ago, today Roger Goodell answered questions about the two biggest topics going on in the National Football League. And one was about Deshaun Watson, and one was about the Washington Football Team emails, the 650,000 emails that are at the heart of the investigation that got John Gruden to become the ex-head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, threatens to envelop other people in it. And today, Roger Goodell made sure that we all know that these emails, what did we tell you 2 weeks ago, are never going to be released. Quote from Roger Goodell, "We're very conscious of making sure we're protecting those who came forward. That was a very high priority. They're not making public the results of the investigation, saying the anonymity of the people who cooperated was too high a priority to allow the league to do so." Now, is this partly Roger Goodell saying, hey, we want to protect anonymity? Sure. Is this Roger Goodell saying, we're not letting you see all this crazy ass stuff that's out there, because then you know how bad we're going to look? Yeah, that's part of it as well. This is why we said 2 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. We told you what was going to happen, right? We've been on a hot streak about predicting the future. I'll tell you what, we're ahead of the curve. And we told you 2 weeks ago, no matter what, you're going to see pressure from outside sources to make the Washington Football Team investigation emails public. You're going to see people who are involved in it want to see it public. You had two former employees of the Washington Football Team show up to the team hotel today at the owners' meeting saying, hey, release the information. Not getting it. You have had players, you have had coaches say, release the information. John Gruden even said, oh, it's the tip of the iceberg. No, no matter what, you're still going to look like an idiot. But we could see other people looking like idiots. There was always going to be pressure. And we told you the NFL was always going to say no. And they're not – just because people are asking and just because there's people in high priorities want to – the government wants to look at the emails. The NFL is saying, that's great. We'll talk to you about it, but we're not doing it. We told you exactly how this was going to go, and this is how the NFL was going to respond. There was no way the emails were going to be made public. This is one of those stories where it doesn't matter what I think and what you think, right? Because I could think one thing. You could think, oh, I could think, hey, they should release him. You could think, no, they shouldn't. I could think they should release him. You could think, oh, no, they have – it doesn't matter because the NFL is never going to release them. Unless some kind of undue pressure, outside influence, which is not happening, the NFL is not making these emails public because it would just be too damaging to the league for whatever we wind up finding. No, not, did you think for a second we'd find out, boy, John Gruden is a really bad guy and not very smart? No, you didn't think that. Right? You thought, okay, we're going to find out stuff about the team's behavior and how the team covered things up, and it's all going to be Washington football team. We get something from a guy that wasn't even a coach, and now he's a coach, and now he's not a coach, now he's never going to coach again. Do you really think it's not crazy bat banana stuff that's in there that's going to go, oh my God, of course it is. So of course the NFL was never going to let this out. No matter who asked for it, the NFL is going to say, that's great, we'll talk to you about it. We'll absolutely have a conversation about it, and you'll show us emails. Oh no, we're not showing you the emails, but I'll have a conversation with you about it. This was always going to be the outcome.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where in those emails, I have no doubt you'll find the salacious stuff, right? Probably more along the lines of the Gruden-Bruce Allen kind of correspondence on a variety of topics, a variety of players, right? We've heard bits and pieces about Michael Sam, about Kaepernick, all of those things. And let's face it, there's also going to be business stuff. This goes back to the Tom Brady, you know, why he wouldn't give his phone over. Okay, you might find something about the deflator 1 and 2, but there's also going to be other details of life and business pursuits and league pursuits and whatever else that, you know, personal, private, and professional didn't want to go out. Same thing here. There's certainly going to be more. And Goodell addressed the, do you believe he's been, you know, punished enough in Daniel Snyder? It's like, well, he hasn't been able to be part of the team activities for the past several months. So Tanya Snyder, co-CEO of the franchise, has taken over daily operations, and the team was fined $10 million. It's only appropriate we're talking about the Astros playing in the World Series and penalties that really didn't amount to a whole hell of a lot when you get down to it. And that's where people are. Lisa Banks, one of the legal advisors at, I'm trying to get the, it's Katz, Marshall, and Banks, took to Twitter earlier. My clients did not ask the NFL, quote, for protection when they participated in the investigation. They asked for transparency and accountability and received neither. So in saying that, representing 40 former employees of the Washington football team who participated in this investigation, so that the statement Goodell makes is false. So that's part of the background now as we get to this going forward.
If we see anything more out of this, it will be someone who has their hands on emails and is willing to stand up, potentially go to jail for it, to release it. That's the only way we're getting more information. If somebody mad about it.
Yeah.
Are they going to say
TV movie stuff, Jason, where they're end of time, right? End of time. It's like, well, I just found out some really bad news about this, that, the other. It's like, all right, release the hounds. I need to go with a clear conscience. Mm. That's it.
So look, that was always going to be the case. Like if that happens, if someone's got it, wants to go rogue, and suddenly, you know, Russell Crowe can play them in the movie. I got information. You got him, the whistleblower. Matt Damon could play me. You gotta make sure. That's the only way, and because nothing else is ever going to get out. So this is a story that's going to go on for a little bit longer, and then it's going to die down because eventually you can only talk about something without new information so much so. And as this keeps going on and going on and going on, it's going to eventually peter out. And that's exactly where the NFL was going with this. Now, the other big story is the playing status of Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. And if he is traded by next Tuesday's deadline, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any changes. Like we first talked about this last night, Ian Rappaport's report, NFL Network, that it doesn't seem like the NFL was going to use the exempt list to put Deshaun Watson on it if he winds up getting traded. Goodell said today at the owners' meetings, the NFL doesn't have enough information about the 22 civil lawsuits that have been filed alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior by Watson to make make a decision on potential discipline. And the information they do have is not enough to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. Goodell talked about the police investigation. They don't have access to that information at this point in time. They say they're not interfering and being cooperative, and the process is still ongoing. Now, I understand all of this. But look, does the NFL, do you really think the NFL doesn't know what's going on? Do you really think the NFL doesn't have any inkling where this is headed with Deshaun Watson? I kind of think they do. But more so than that, Roger Goodell makes it seem like I don't have the power to do anything. Look, we don't have enough information. He's been filed at 22 lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior. All right, we watched this in Major League Baseball with Trevor Bauer, and we're still waiting for that. We're still waiting to see how that's going to shake out. And what did Major League Baseball do? We got to sit you down while this is going on. We're going to pay you, but we got to sit you down. And that's how you do it. And here's Roger Goodell, not can't even stand up and say, hey, we're gonna sit you down. We're gonna pay you, which you're getting paid right now, but we can't have you on the field. This is too bad. This is too big a story. It's too big a deal. Your number one thing is your legal problems, your legal issues right now. Roger Goodell makes it seem like there's nothing I can do. He could put him on the exempt list if he wants to, right? The commissioner, it's like he wants to accordion the powers of commissioner. When he wants to, the commissioner is the most powerful person in the world. And when he wants to, it's, I'm just the commissioner of the NFL. I can't really do anything. I can't even get a coffee in the morning. I don't know how to do it up there. There's people in line in front of me. He makes it seem like, oh, we're just still doing this. I don't see how what the Texans are doing right now is the right thing in saying we're paying you, but this is a really big deal and we can't afford to be wrong on this. We can pay you. We don't have to play you, but we can pay you. The NFL could take up the baton on this and say, we're going to pay you, but we don't have to play you because this is a big thing. And that would solve everything. And you just watch, if he gets traded by next Tuesday and the Texans really want him out at this point, they want him gone, and he starts playing, the NFL is going to reap what they sowed on this. They're gonna reap such a big avalanche of negative publicity that people are going to come down on them with, whether it's people who are involved in the investigation, whether it's women's groups, whether it's just human rights groups, whatever it's going to be. How do you let this happen? The NFL is not ready for that. This guy's going to be on the field and playing. They don't know what the reaction is going to be when Deshaun Watson hits the football field. If they did, they would have made a decision to say, hey, these are 22 civil lawsuits. Let's let this play out a little bit longer while we continue to pay him.
Yeah, I think a couple of the things with, you're bringing it back to Trevor Bauer. We've discussed this previously. He was in the middle of the season, and these allegations came up, and you then decide, through your attorneys to back it down and go on an administrative leave that got continuances, right? Like you have a court case scheduled, and for one reason or another, you just say, let's push it back another month. We're still investigating. Let's push it back another month. We can't make this. There's nothing further. Same kind of thing with Trevor Bauer. And here you've got, 10 criminal complaints, no charges, 22 active civil lawsuits. And fortunately for the commissioner, hasn't had to make a decision because Deshaun Watson and the Texans don't like each other. I would guess it's more one side than the other, right? From everything we've been told. Likewise, he has a no trade clause. So everybody sniffing around the league office, which is why Goodell had to address it, is just there's so much of, all right, if he does get traded, what happens, Roger? And trying to stay out of the adjudication of this because, in the past they've mishandled it all, right? I mean, that was always the criticism. What right does the NFL have to be doing investigations, etc.? People wanted it both ways, and they still do, right? They want the NFL to have the heavy hand, except when they don't. And so Goodell, I think, for now, just saying, I don't have to take action, ergo, I don't take any action. But if forced to, yeah, I agree with you. They probably have more than ample information to decide on a course of action once they're forced to. And by Tuesday, perhaps they do. I saw a number of the reports back and forth, Houston insiders, Miami insiders, you name it, people jumping in going, hey, they have a deal in place, in principle, pending the outcome of the criminal and civil complaints and how those are reviewed by the league and or the law. And it's like, okay, then they really don't have a deal. They have a framework and they've had negotiations. Right now we're still haggling over the details. It's like saying, I'm talking to someone about a new job. Well, have you signed on? Well, no, because we're fighting over vacation time and whatever else. Not to trivialize it, but to make it more relatable to folks as they move about their jobs and wherever you're listening here nationwide and globally, we appreciate you. But just that fact, Jason, where it's like, you know, there's going to be details that need to be agreed upon. And we've talked about it for the last couple of weeks when this topic's come up of, yeah, everybody wants a little bit of protection in the event that this does go down a criminal path and that he serves not only a suspension from the league for player conduct policy transgressions, but also perhaps time behind bars if he's found guilty, should charges ever be filed. Because that's the other part of it, right? We're still talking about the civil complaints. Might be a deal in place with Miami or Carolina or secret suitor number four that decides and they finally come to a settlement and all 22 suddenly go away. Does it mean the criminal complaints necessarily go away? No, but we're still not at charges. So the league still will have it within their purview based on protecting the shield, the ability to do something. But I think Goodell's trying to make sure that, you know, given past blows to his ego and his status and that of the league, that he doesn't have another ham-handed outcome here, even though it may look like he's got one right now.
Ham-handed.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe, the best thoroughbreds from around the world with one goal in mind, the title of world champion. Visit BreedersCup.com/2021. That's BreedersCup.com/2021. For more information, catch all the action live on November 5th and 6th. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. World Series, Braves threatening, up 5-1 already in the top of the sixth inning of Game 1. We'll have more on that game coming up in a few minutes, but one of the big topics of conversation has continued to be who's going to be the next head coach at USC, who's going to take over from Ed Orgeron at LSU at the end of this year. Carson Palmer went on the Dan Patrick Show the other day and said, hey, here's names that are being thrown out there, and Mike Tomlin's name was featured. Whoa, Mike Tomlin, seriously? Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, huh? Wonder what he's got to say about that. Well, today at his weekly press conference, he made sure to bring the story up and then make you walk away not thinking anything other than, I'm really not interested in the gig.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? Never say never, but never. It's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
That's how you deny something, Mike Harmon. I mean, you could still do a Nick Saban saying, guys, I'm not going to Alabama, and still go to Alabama. But that's a pretty good full-throated denial. There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Why would I ever want to go coach college football? And when you're coaching the Steelers and you've coached Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and some of the guys, and you're like, you know what? I can't imagine what it would be like coaching these kids when they're 19, 20, 21. Yeah, I'm not going to college. I think we can cross Mike Tomlin off that list.
Well, I don't know. The way he really went through the violent denial of it all, I think he really was asking, you really got to come with a really, really big check if you want me to go do this. That's the message I took out. Methinks he doth protest a bit too much.
I'll show you a big enough check. You think, yeah, well, here's a big enough check for you.
Don't ask me again. And it's like, whoa, all right then. Look, but it's as we discussed before. It's like how many times, you know, you look at going from the pros back to college and all, especially if you haven't done it before, right? It's one thing, you know, slide up the ranks, slide back down as a head man. But then, you know, all the extra that you have to deal with at the collegiate level. And now as they try to get different pieces in place, you're not only recruiting, saying, hey, you got a roster spot. Now you got to have a whole team of people trying to tell folks how they're going to be able to capitalize off NFTs and the whole NIL deals and everything that flows out of that. And now you're a matchmaker with businesses. No thanks, man. I'll stay in the NFL. Even if I got to deal with some truculent guys at times, some guys that are confusing as to how they handle their business and what it means to my locker room, I'm staying there. And for Mike Tomlin, I mean, look, I think he gave the answer I think most would have expected Mike Tomlin to give. But, you know, as soon as you bring up the checks from the boosters, now it goes, all right, so you've opened up the door. You've opened up the doors, which means, all right, everybody make sure you pool your money together. It's not just going to be one of you with a check big enough.
You know, it's funny you say the matchmaking because that's what makes me think when lists like this come out, hey, here's a list of potential candidates, that you hear that and you think, okay, there's contact that's been made either through back channels or front channels, and we're going to wind up talking to these people about this job. Hey, here's our list. When really what it is it's a wish list. It's, hey,
right,
let's play matchmaker. You know who might be great? Hey, Mike Tomlin. Hey, you know what? Yeah, a couple of guys. Mike Tomlin might be a great fit, might be ready to leave the NFL, would go to a high-profile place like USC. Oh, Mike Tomlin. It's all matchmaking. It's other people with ideas saying, oh, I think this might work. So when you hear about a list, this is just what people are putting together in an office. This is not, we have this and we've already reached out to people. So yeah, Understand that when lists come out.
So a lot of like when I used to get the Sears Wish book all those years ago, and you'd write down 9 pages of Star Wars stuff and other action figures and sports stuff you wanted, doesn't mean you're getting a damn bit of it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we'll have more on the World Series. The Braves up by 4 as the Astros come in to bat in the bottom of the 6th inning. But also, the NFL story that just won't die. This is Fox Sports Radio.